Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell, Alice Bryant, Jill Robbins, and Brian Lynn. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will bring us the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is John Russell.
Small businesses across America are putting up help wanted signs and other advertisements seeking workers. But in many cases, the jobs go unfilled even as the economy improves. The lack of workers is hurting small businesses' ability to keep up with demand for their products and services. Owners say that some possible job candidates are not seeking employment because they worry about getting COVID-19. Others choose to continue with the increased unemployment benefits linked to the health crisis. Still others face childcare needs. Many parents are unable to work if they also must care for a child at home. Steve Klatt and Brandon Lapp own a restaurant and food truck business in Johns Island, South Carolina. When Klatt and Lapp set up interviews or meetings with job candidates, they say they are lucky if 1 out of 10 of them attends. The people who do show up all assume their unemployment is running out, says Klatt. Unemployment refers to assistance that people can receive when they lose their job. Congressional Research Services, a research group for the U.S. Congress, notes that there are many state and federal rules that govern unemployment assistance. This results in 53 different programs in the United States, says a 2019 report. It adds that most states provide up to a maximum of 26 weeks of unemployment benefits. In South Carolina, the maximum, or highest permitted, weekly unemployment benefit is $626, including $300 in federal coronavirus aid payments. But in other states, maximum unemployment is more than $700 a week. Businesses of all sizes are struggling with hiring, even with almost 10 million Americans unemployed. But smaller companies have a harder time. They cannot offer the same pay and benefits that larger companies do. The National Federation of Independent Business found recently that 42% of its members had job openings they could not fill. Owners believe this issue could be a result of higher unemployment benefits. Companies whose work is done inside homes find many possible workers are afraid of getting the virus on a job. Meanwhile, demand for home services is up because people are spending more time at home. Joe Bruzuelas is an economist with the consulting company RSM. Bruzuelas says childcare is another issue that may increase owners' problems with finding workers. He said that small businesses, especially, are going to face labor difficulties until later this fall at the earliest. Childcare is one reason why the amount of available workers has decreased at Let Mommy Sleep, which hires nurses and other caregivers. These employees provide in-home care for babies. Founder Denise Stern says some of her caregivers work overnight and sleep during the day. But that shift is now impossible for those who must care for their own children during the day. Stern's hiring process is also restricted by concerns about the virus itself. "We can't hire candidates with second jobs where exposure might happen, and honestly, a lot of candidates don't want to work in a closed environment where we know transmission happens," Stern says. Stern has had to reject some requests for service. So have the owners of 7 Let Mommy Sleep centers around the country. Stern, who works in the Washington, D.C. area, says her company's earnings dropped 50%. I'm John Russell.
Latin American countries are increasingly looking to space to speed their development. Nicaragua is one of the poorest nations in the Americas and has experienced many conflicts. But on February 17th, the nation's Congress approved a law to form a space agency. Costa Rica, known for its growth and stability, did the same on February 18th. Many countries with limited financial resources see the possible benefits of space. They are interested in satellite technology, international partnerships, and local development. But critics say space programs are taking away from pressing problems on the ground. Temedayo Onioshun is managing director of Space in Africa, a research, media, and advising company. In an email to the Associated Press, he said critics often question why countries like Nicaragua or African countries want space programs. He said these countries rarely begin space programs to explore the moon or Mars. Instead, they are mostly interested in using space to solve development issues. The growth of the space industry and the possibility for internet connectivity from satellites could help countries lacking internet coverage. Satellite information can also guide crop growing, help predict natural disasters, and help industry. Satellites also can closely watch weather and conditions linked to the spread of disease. Nicaragua is not new to space aims, but an old deal with China years ago for the development of a communications satellite has been delayed. In 2017, Russia opened a station in Nicaragua as part of a satellite navigation system. Nicaragua denied that it was spying on Latin America or the United States. Nicaragua understands others distrust its new military-run space program. Jenny Martinez is a lawmaker in Nicaragua. She said more than 50 countries in the world have space agencies. Nicaragua has been a member since 1994 of the United Nations Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space. The UN agency oversees agreements that govern space law. Carlos Arturo Velez is an Ecuadorian lawyer studying air and space law at Leiden University in the Netherlands. He told the Associated Press that Nicaragua does not need to send things into space to be part of the system. Doing something wrong in outer space could affect any country in the world, he he said. For example, parts of a satellite could crash to Earth and cause damage, injuries, or death. Ecuador launched a satellite called Pegaso in 2013 with help from China. But the satellite was damaged 1 month later. It is believed to have hit pieces of an old Russian rocket.
Supporters of Costa Rica's space objectives say its new agency can contribute to technologies used on Earth. It can also give Costa Rica influence in international space policy and agreements. Franklin Chang Diaz is a Costa Rica-born U.S. citizen who became a NASA astronaut. In a statement, he said, "A lot of people criticized the creation of NASA in 1958 when the United States was struggling with the worst economic recession since World War II. He said, "NASA putting a person on the moon sometimes gets more attention than the more important technological and economic benefits that followed." Costa Rica's first satellite, called Irazu, was launched on an American SpaceX rocket in 2018. Its aim is to watch rainforests and climate change. The satellite was partly paid for by an online money-raising campaign. It's not surprising that Costa Rica passed a space agency law, and hopefully Guatemala will do the same, said Catherine Herrera. She is a student at the University of the Valley of Guatemala. Herrera heads a student group on space science and engineering. A country needs public policies that support space programs and help reach its research goals, Herrera wrote in an email. Guatemala's first satellite was deployed by Japan last year. Called Quetzal 1, it was operated by a team from the university where Herrera is studying. The project took place in a country whose problems have led many citizens to look for a better life in other places. Bolivia's space agency got caught up in the country's recent political problems. The new government accused former temporary leadership of delaying operations at the agency. The space agency was set up in 2010 by then-president Evo Morales. There are other examples of Latin America's space developments. Brazil's science and technology minister, Marcos Pontes, is a former astronaut who trained with NASA. Chile is home to several international research telescopes. The European Space Agency launches rockets from French Guiana on South America's northeast coast. And now Mexico and Argentina are leading efforts to form a regional space agency. The African Union is also planning a space agency to be based in Egypt. Mexico's Congress on Monday held an international meeting on what it called the new space race and what it can do for health, education, and other fields. Senator Beatriz Paredes Rangel said, "The future is in our hands, and if we're not part of it, we will disappear or waste the chance to help build the future." I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
Facebook's oversight board has decided to uphold the company's suspension of former President Donald Trump. But in an announcement about its decision Wednesday, the board criticized Facebook for making the suspension indefinite. It said the open-ended ban was ordered without clear standards. the board demanded that Facebook's leadership re-examine its decision and decide on another punishment that better fits the gravity of the violation and the prospect of future harm. The board gave the company 6 months to come up with a new penalty that agrees with current rules governing all Facebook users. Facebook's semi-independent oversight board, which currently has 20 members, was established to rule on content-related matters. It was created after widespread criticism that Facebook was not effectively policing misinformation, hate speech, and influence campaigns from outside groups or governments. Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts were suspended in January over statements he posted to the services. The companies said the posts risked fueling further violence following the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters. The board said it agreed with Facebook that two of Trump's posts on January 6th severely violated the content standards of both Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is owned by Facebook. In the first post to supporters taking part in rioting at the Capitol, Trump said in a video, "I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us." He also said, "We love you. You're very special." In the video, Trump also said, "But you have to go home now. We have to have peace." In the second post, as police were still in the process of securing the Capitol, he called his supporters great patriots and added, "Remember this day forever." The board said the language used in both posts clearly violated Facebook's rules against praising or supporting people taking part in violence. By making repeated statements about election fraud with no evidence to back up his claims, Trump had created an environment where a serious risk of violence was possible, the board said. His words of support to the rioters had legitimized their violent actions, it added. However, the board said it was not correct for Facebook to order an indefinite suspension with no clear steps for when or whether the account would be reestablished. It added that Facebook's action against Trump did not follow its own clear, published policies. Facebook's Vice President of Global Affairs and Communications, Nick Clegg, said in a statement he was pleased that the board had upheld the basis for Trump's suspension. He added that the company's leadership will now consider the board's decision and come up with a new action that is clear and proportionate. In a statement posted Wednesday on his website, Trump did not specifically comment on the board's decision. Instead, he called out Facebook, Twitter, and Google for being corrupt companies that must pay a political price. He added, "Free speech has been taken away from the President of the United States because the radical left lunatics are afraid of the truth." Trump was also banned from other major social media services after the Capitol rioting, including Twitter and Google-owned YouTube. Twitter had been Trump's favored medium for messaging throughout his presidency. Twitter has said its ban on Trump will remain even if he runs for office again. The board's decision has been watched for signals on how the world's largest social network will deal with rule-breaking world leaders in the future. This week, Twitter provided information about a public opinion study the company is carrying out to see how the public thinks it should deal with world leaders. Since March, Twitter has been collecting input for the study. It said it had received nearly 49,000 answers in 14 languages. The study sought opinions on whether people believe that world leaders breaking Twitter's rules should face greater or lesser actions than other users. The company also asked whether it was ever correct for Twitter to permanently suspend the account of a current president or prime minister. Twitter said it will process the data before releasing study results. I'm Brian Lynn.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Sometimes a visit to a national park means hiking rugged trails and climbing high mountains. Other times, it means crawling through caves or rafting down a wild river. But we want to take it easier. So, we head south to the state of Arkansas. It is home to a national park that is perfect for resting and renewing a tired body. Visitors treat themselves to one of its natural thermal baths. Humans have been enjoying the warm waters for thousands of years. Welcome to Hot Springs National Park.
Most national parks are far from cities and industry, but Hot Springs is different. It covers more than 2,200 hectares in and around the city of Hot Springs, Arkansas. Congress approved special protection of the area in 1832. Known unofficially as America's Spa, it became a national park in 1921. The park's geothermal springs and other resources have long been used for therapeutic bathing. The average temperature of the hot springs is 61 degrees Celsius. The thermal mineral waters reportedly help ease many health problems, including arthritis and rheumatism. The springs emerge along the western edge of Hot Springs Mountain. Scientists say the hot springs are made of rainwater that fell in the hot springs area thousands of years ago. The rainwater slowly dripped down to the Earth's crust. When water rises back up to the surface quickly and does not have a chance to cool, hot springs form.
Hot Springs National Park's early bathhouses were simple structures. They were made of canvas and lumber. They were built right over some of the natural springs. Later, businessmen built more complex wooden structures. But those structures were frequently damaged by fires and from exposure to water and steam. Beginning in the early 1900s, stone, stucco, and brick structures replaced the wooden bathhouse buildings. These large and much more elaborate structures still stand today along what is known as Bathhouse Row. These bathhouses were built along the eastern bank of Hot Springs Creek. The hot water from the hillside springs flows down a system of wooden troughs and into the buildings.
Each spring was said to help cure different kinds of conditions. Some of the early names referred to their chemical properties. Others were named after the part of the body that its waters could best help. There was once a spring called Kidney, and another named Liver. 8 buildings line Bathhouse Row today. They are very large. Many of them are 3 levels. But most of them no longer offer therapeutic water treatments. Instead, they house park shops and the visitor center. But one has remained open for more than 100 years. The Buckstaff Bathhouse has operated continuously since 1912. It is one of the best-preserved bathhouses within Hot Springs National Park. Visitors today can enjoy traditional thermal mineral baths. The baths are different temperatures and have different properties.
Another bathhouse offers a more modern spa experience. Quapaw Baths and Spa also sits along Bathhouse Row. It was renovated and reopened in 2007 on Hot Springs' 175th anniversary. When you are done with your relaxing bath, there is still more to enjoy at Hot Springs National Park. Visitors can hike along the more than 43 kilometers of trails in the park. You will find unusual rock formations and views of the surrounding rolling hills. The landscape provides evidence of the area's hot spring history. On the Tufa Terrace Trail, you will see huge deposits of tufa, created by the flowing springs over thousands of years. Tufa is a kind of rock shaped by water.
But you do not have to hike to see the sights. There are beautiful mountain roads to drive as well. However you explore Hot Springs National Park, you can't help but relax. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.